Vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. It's myself, Mo Moonsi, as always, joining me, the legendary Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Mo. I am ready for today. This is going to be a spectacular show, as Marv Albert would say. Spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a few hot topics in NBA right now, and then later in the show, we're going to get to a very, very fun segment. But let's start with the big trending topic this week, which was Giannis Antetokounmpo supposedly wanting out of Milwaukee. The Bucks are currently 10-15. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. Things are not going well. And, you know, Giannis went and removed a whole bunch of posts from his social media. People were reading into that. And then the report started coming out that him and the Bucks would be talking about his future with or without the franchise. He then played in a game for 3 minutes and then had a calf injury, which is interesting because when a player has an injury like that, they are allowed to not speak to the media for 2 weeks. They have to be made available to the media after 2 weeks.
Didn't know that.
Now he gets to avoid the questions from the media about all of this. So I'm not saying the injury is not real. I'm just saying coincidental timing. Yeah. And thankfully, it's just a calf strain. It's not an Achilles injury, or, you know, those non-contact injuries could sometimes be very, very troubling. Coach, what are your thoughts and just your initial reaction to Giannis and Milwaukee? And, you know, because from the outset, it kind of looks like he wants to leave Milwaukee without being the bad guy who says he wants to leave Milwaukee.
You know, I love Giannis. I love him as a player. I love him, really, the things he stands for as a person, family guy. He loves his brothers and family, you know. And I thing I really appreciate about him, he's been very loyal to the franchise since he was drafted there as a young kid. Looked nothing like he does now. He's a grown-ass man now. Mm-hmm. And has just evolved into one of the three best players in the league. And I say that Jokic, I'll have to check with Stan Van Gundy, who we love. Stan, as you know, is a dear friend, and I love Stan.
Yep.
But Jokic, Shea, and Giannis, probably the three best players.
Yeah, and it is like that every season for the past few years.
So we love Giannis. Doc Rivers, my former player who I drafted, is their coach. Been an NBA coach for 26 years. He's one of the best in the business. So I respect what he has to go through on this whole situation. They made a play for Dame. It didn't work out. He got hurt. They bought him out. They tried to bring in, you know, our friend from Indiana. And, you know, it's been an up and down process. It seems like he's starting to play a little better, Mr. Turner. And, you know, I feel for Doc, but I feel for the franchise, the people there. I don't know enough about, you know, you're way more versed than I about, I'm happy I have an X account and I have a following on X, and I have a website and I have a lot of email clients. But I don't know how you scrub any of that shit. I don't know how to do that stuff. He made a great comment the other day, and he equated it to, if you went to a show, either a movie or a Broadway show, and you went to see the show, and he said, you're not going to the show because of their social media account. He wants people to come to the show to see what he does. Which, yeah, I thought was really cool.
No, it's interesting on the parasocial dynamic between humans and the celebrities that they idolize, right? If you have so much access to these guys, you think that you know them. However, the flaw in the logic is, Giannis, everyone still wants to come and see you play, regardless of whether or not you're posting on Instagram and Twitter. Like, I don't think that's going to make up. So, no one's sitting in a house saying, do you want to go to the Bucks game? Nah, I saw Giannis post on Instagram yesterday. No one's doing that. So I'm not buying that story.
I just wanted to offer perspective. And, you know, and the thing about him is, if he had Hoop Genius social media influence, he would probably wouldn't have scrubbed it. Okay. Because we have a massive,
we'd probably make $1 billion if we ran that account.
Yeah. We have a massive following and we really have good stuff that we put out there. And, you know, so I just hope he's his contract is like a year away from doing things where he can extend it further. But, you know, he's got really, in essence, this season and two more.
He's got 54 million this season, 58.5 million next season, and then 62.8 million in his final season of this contract, where he'll be 33 years old, but he'll probably look to extend it before then.
Yes.
I think the biggest mistake that Giannis ever made was okaying the trade for Jrue Holiday and Damian Lillard. Because I get it. Dame Lillard is a great player, a great offensive player. But Jrue Holiday was so integral to the defense of that team. He allowed you, Brook Lopez and now Miles Turner, to play the drop coverage because he can chase anyone over a screen. He was a key part of that defense. And we all know defense wins championships. Yes, Dame can bring in more scoring. And, you know, the logic of a Dame and Giannis pick and roll, which we never really got to see in its full extent, would have been amazing. But I think that Jrue Holiday was so important to that team that giving the thumbs up on that trade was the beginning of the end of his time in Milwaukee.
The dynamic in any sport is team. And the five players, you know, your fantasy team, your all-star team, doesn't make up the best real team. It's the biggest stars in a game. That's why I always say sometimes the team that wins the world championship, the NBA championship, could easily beat our USA national team easily, you know, because we're a team, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah.
My opinion. We're well rehearsed together. So they lost in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, the year after they won the championship, they lost first round and they reacted to that.
Yep. Not factoring in the fact that they had injuries and so on and so forth.
They
right?
fired their coach, and now the front office was trying to make up for that. Sometimes you just got to. I just was working with a coach this morning on one of my clients, and he lost the game last night, and he was in panic. And you know what? When you lose, you got to regroup. You got to stay together, and you got to tweak things. They didn't tweak. They just threw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. Jrue Holiday's one of the greatest team leaders, I think, in basketball. Mm-hmm. He's a dynamic force.
Well, they traded him. He landed in Boston and won a championship.
That's what I mean. It's an incredible. It put the glue on their team.
Yep.
You know, and now they're going to suffer from not having him. Whatever the reasons are, him not being there. It's going to hurt. So when you take a really integral part of your team away, it really hurts. But I don't know all of us have advisors and outside influence. Alex Serratis and his people that advise him and have worked with him since he was a teenager, they're trying to do what's best for him. And just moving to a new house, Mo, or a new city, doesn't mean things get better.
Especially now in this CBA, the way that teams are structured, it's not like the old NBA where you could make these superstar trades and keep some of your team intact. You really have to kind of gut your team because of the restrictions. Now, if you're a second apron team, you can't do certain things in trades that you would have been able to do before, right? So I wanted to have a look at some of the potential teams who have been mentioned in talks for trading for Giannis, right? And I've got a list of six teams here.
Okay.
We'll start at the top with the New York Knicks. Because they could move Karl-Anthony Towns, or they could move OG and Bridges, and bring in Giannis to play alongside Jalen Brunson. I think Brunson's the only player that they wouldn't look to move. How would you like that fit of Giannis in New York?
Well, I've coached there. I grew up there. It's the hardest city in the NBA to play in by far. They don't care who you are, any of the sports, baseball, football, basketball. If you don't perform on a given night, forget a season, a given night, they crucify you. And it's like the European newspapers in London and the big cities. New York's the only U.S. city that has newspapers like that, tabloids, we call them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like you have in London, wonderful papers.
Unfortunately, we have them wonderful papers.
No, I'm saying that facetiously. Toronto's the only North American city outside of New York that has that. The reason that tabloids are incredible is they sell them at the train stations and you buy them publicly, as opposed to in most cities, they home deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they put headlines on the back thing that are salacious headlines about to sell papers.
Yeah. But I'm not worried about Giannis not performing anywhere he goes.
No, but he's going to have a bad game.
His team's, that's not true for anyone.
Aaron Judge, the greatest baseball player, the MVP the last couple of years, they go after him. They go after Derek Jeter. They go after the quarterbacks. They don't care who you are. At some point, they're going to get you. But anyway, it's not as great a place to live. But more importantly, if you're taking whoever you take, it's not just going to be Giannis for one player. If I'm Milwaukee, you're going to take a contract of mine that is awful, and the guy is not a good player, and you're going to take that contract. And you're going to take that contract, and they're going to say, we don't want him. Good, you don't get him. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. I'm going to unload something to help me rebuild.
Yeah, I think the thing for New York that makes it the most realistic in my eyes is Giannis's family moved back to Greece this summer, if I'm not mistaken, right? If that intel is correct. His kids and his wife moved back to Greece, and New York is the only city that has direct flights to Athens. So from a personal perspective, there's that.
Nah. The man's working for 8 months. There's no chance to fly home, number one. You can fly there, great. When you make $60+ million a year, you can get a private plane, okay? Yeah, we're not worried. You and I are trying to figure out the cheapest economy fare to get over to Europe. That's not a problem for him. And I don't understand how in the NBA you can be away from your family for 8 months. It's awful.
You saw an interview from Draymond Green talking about, I'm missing the birth of my child to play this game, right? Just a random regular season game. And you think, oh, okay, cool. This guy's really dedicated, so on and so forth. But then you think back to a year ago where this same guy, Draymond Green, is sitting there talking about, I would miss a Warriors game to go and watch LeBron break the record. So let me get this straight, Draymond. You would miss a Warriors game to watch LeBron break a record, but you wouldn't miss it for the birth of your child. If that's your logic, hey.
It's funny. One you get fined for, and the other one we encourage you to do.
Yep.
In the league.
Priorities.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah. Back to Giannis.
This, our family coaching session will begin in 2 hours, but go ahead.
Another team that has the resources to trade for Giannis, but I don't think, and it's super rare that there's a team that you don't think should trade for a top three player, but that's the OKC Thunder. Because they've got picks, they've got contracts, they've got young players that they could give Milwaukee and set Milwaukee up for a beautiful rebuild. However, I don't think you rock the boat when things are going so well. They are reigning champs. They're rolling through this season. Adding Giannis, I know you've just extended Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren on big contracts, but adding Giannis, I don't think is something you need to do, especially the numbers on the contract. You know, $62.8 million in his final season, and his next contract when he's even older will be worth more than that. Not saying Giannis won't still be a great player by then, but I think you've got a good thing going. You don't need to pull the trigger on this deal. The only reason you would is to stop someone else from getting him.
Yeah, Sam Presti's a one of one. He is in a class by himself as far as front office executive in the league. He has acquired, in my opinion, him and Brooklyn, the only assets that can satisfy Milwaukee in a rebuild, and that is picks. New York doesn't have any picks anymore. They gave them all for Mikal Bridges. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Yes. And so now, so from talking from this, OKC is the team that is prime. They also have two young stars that would make sense in a rebuild that you could give up one of them. And they have some wonderful young bench players because they do such a great job in their player development system. I don't think Sam will do it. I agree with you 100%. But he's the most equipped by far. But let me say this to you, Mo. And I'm already member 0-for-1 in predicting that OKC would repeat. Okay. So maybe I don't want to go all in and prove that I am the number one dumbass in basketball today. I think I've kind of solidified that already. But by him doing that, it makes sense because once you win a championship, you are hungry for more. Mm-hmm. And this gives you a hell of an opportunity, but it doesn't guarantee it.
Nope.
So I think Sam is so thoughtful, so smart. He puts me in his hip pocket, so I'm not going there, but he's the most equipped. Good call by you.
Yeah, I do have to push back on one-on-one because in my opinion, the best executive in the NBA is Mr. Scott Perry, but that's slightly biased of a take, maybe. Yeah,
biased.
Well, another team that has a few things that the Milwaukee Bucks might be interested in is the San Antonio Spurs, who could partner Wemby and Giannis together in a front court that opponents would just dread facing on a nightly basis with those two defensive monsters on the court together. But if you're the San Antonio Spurs, And I know it's going to sound insane, similar to what I said with OKC, right? But you're going to have to give up Castle or Harper in this deal, if not both of them. Now, these are two guys you've drafted who are under cost-controlled rookie contracts, who you then have the ability to extend, and there's different limitations on extending a player you drafted versus a player you've acquired. Do you do that if you're looking long-term? Now, if you're looking at it like we want to win and we want to win now, sure, we go ahead. We're going to go get Giannis. But if the plan is to build a sustainable winner around Wembanyama, much like the Spurs did with Tim Duncan, you would keep hold of the players, because I'm pretty sure there were times where there were stars available for trade, and if you packaged Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, the Spurs could have got them to partner them with Tim Duncan. But that's not something this organization has really done in the past.
You know, I think it's, again, Spurs are an organization that loves to win championships. And if you want to acquire something, you have to pay the price. They have assets, and I think they would do it because they're not going to get to championship land with Wimby, because he's not a center. So they have to go out and get another force inside. And I think that's a real potential. But I'm going to push back and say this trade is going to be approved by Giannis, mm-hmm. not by the teams. I'm not sure he wants to live in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No offense to San Antonio. I'm not Charles Barkley pushing back on San Antonio. I'm not doing what my buddy Charles does, nor OKC. They're both great places. But I think this is a chance where he says, I want to live in New York, Boston, Miami, Chicago, or Los Angeles. I think this is a destination move for him, not a...
I would be shocked if he wants to live in Boston. Boston aren't on my list here.
It should be.
I mean, I would love Giannis in Boston.
No, it should be because I think he is. They're very appreciative of the championship culture. They mm-hmm. really like Brad Stevens. They really like Joe Mazzulla. He has great respect for them. And I thought he really saw what Drew Holiday was there, the type of team that they can build. So I think they're on the list.
Well, Giannis for Jaylen Brown works, but Jaylen Brown's your Finals MVP. He's been carrying your team all season. I don't know if there is a way to get Giannis without including Jaylen Brown in that deal.
No, I think when you're making a move to get one of the greatest players in the league, you're going to have to give up something major in mm-hmm. a salary cap league. This is not Premier Soccer League where we can buy guys, the MLS, where whatever we do in baseball, this and NFL, this is basketball where we have very strict cap rules, very strict trading rules. And so everything's got to work. So you're going to have to give up a major salary player, $60 million potential player.
Yeah. Well, you can get away with Derek White, Anthony Simons, and Sam Hauser, and then essentially all your draft picks. But then Bucks ain't going to say yes to that.
No, exactly right.
But let's keep it moving with this list I have here. The Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors, they have Jimmy Butler and his salary, which could match. They've got young players in Kuminga and Moody that, Steve Kerr doesn't seem to like playing a lot. And I'm pretty sure he'd love to play Giannis instead of those guys. What do you think about the Warriors as a destination for Giannis?
Absolutely not. Too old. Too old a team. Yeah, too old a team.
From Giannis's mind, it's like he'll get the next 2 years, and then on the final year of his contract, he can do this all again. He can say, "I'm not re-signing here. Trade me again."
Yeah, no, I just don't think it's gonna. I don't think that's gonna work. And I just don't. And I don't see how they can do it salary wise at all.
Okay, well, how about the Atlanta Hawks?
I've lived there.
Yeah, you were there for a hot minute.
10 years.
The Atlanta Hawks could make a trade for Victor Wembanyama. And I would be very intrigued. Like, out of all of the teams on the list, this would be the most intriguing one for me to see how it played out with what they could do, because they've been without Trae Young now, and they're a pretty solid team without Trae Young, making his salary. If Milwaukee believe Trae can be the guy to carry their franchise and they can give some picks, and they have the valuable Pelicans pick, which is going to be very high this year. Question comes down to, would you rather have a top five pick this year or Giannis Antetokounmpo? And I'm inclined to say Giannis Antetokounmpo, with all due respect to the guys in the draft this year, because with the lottery, nothing's guaranteed.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, Giannis is a player you would definitely prefer. I don't know if he would want to go to Atlanta. But they have some really good people. They have a good coach. It's a tough one. It's a really, really difficult one. I think you give them Milwaukee's pick back, their own pick back, possibly, because they could be, they're more to the Pelicans. You take the pick that they get from them, because it might be Milwaukee's pick, might be the pick that becomes a very high pick.
So, you know, you do that trade, you could end up with AJ DeBanser or Darren Peterson or Kambusa, and you can start your build from there.
Yeah. And you're saying Trae Young as a player plus some other things.
Yep.
Has to be plus. It's a possibility. They have, in my opinion, one of the quickest rising stars in the league in Jalen Johnson. But
Two triple doubles in his last two games.
Incredible. He's one of the most fun players to watch. He does everything. So they have a real star there, and Dyson Daniels is another good player. Walker, it was a great free agent signing. So they're primed to take off, and if they got him, it would be something. But again, he would have to approve that.
He's going to have to approve anywhere he goes. Which brings me to the final team on my list, the Miami Heat. I think Giannis would thrive in Miami, because they're all about conditioning, and right now they're all about playing fast, and that fits his game perfectly. I don't know how a front court of Giannis and Bam together would look like, because if you're the Bucks, you demand Khalil Ware in return, because he's a superb young prospect. Giannis and Bam, defensively, insane. Offensively, the lack of shooting does concern me just a little bit. And then you're also going to have to give up a Tyler Herro as well, and maybe Jaime Jaquez or other players on rookie-scale contracts, and some picks to make it work. But you know, Pat Riley didn't do deals in the past, and he's kind of sat tight waiting for the right opportunity to strike. Do you think that he can get involved in the Giannis sweepstakes?
I think Riles is, when I gave the flowers to, which you tried to crush with Sam Presti, who hired our dear friend Scott Perry. I just want to point that out. He knows talent. That's why I said he was a one of one. trying to climb back up out of the dugout, is that I know Riles is waiting for 27 to make their move as a franchise, but Tyler Hero's from Wisconsin, so he would be going home. I think Hero, Ware, and picks, it's pretty enticing. I think Giannis could possibly live in Miami. That would work for him.
Yeah, I think Miami might just be nice enough for someone to live. Out of all the teams on the list, or any that we haven't mentioned, who would you, if you had to make a prediction now, where you think Giannis is this time next year? Because I don't know if a deal has to be done now. A deal could be done in the summer.
Exactly right.
So this time next year, where do you see Giannis?
Miami is more viable than New York. I really do. I don't think New York has enough to give them. I really don't. As far as picks, I really don't think they do. And I think Milwaukee has to rebuild, and they have to sell to the public that this was a good deal. And I'm not sure that what they get in that respect makes it a good deal, but it's got to be two guys to three guys that could start, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think all of a sudden Miami would be with Bam. you know, you got Bam, Giannis, Norman Powell. You got some weapons.
Mm-hmm.
You got some real weapons.
Well, speaking of Norman Powell, he was traded to Miami from the Clippers, who are having a disaster of a season. 6-18, 2-8 in their last 10. Their only wins so far have been against Phoenix, Portland, New Orleans, Dallas, Charlotte, and Atlanta. They've been really struggling. They had a close one last night, right down to the wire against Timberwolves. Couldn't get it done. But this week, the big story was Chris Paul being sent home by the team. Chris Paul put up an Instagram story saying, just been told to go home. I know you're very close with Jeff Van Gundy, the defensive coordinator over there with the Clippers, and Ty Lue, the head coach over there with the Clippers. So I wanted to defer to you here and see any insights that you have first and foremost before I open my big mouth and start making jokes.
And Lawrence Frank, and Jeff are on our coaching youth faculty. Great basketball people. Lawrence Franks was a great coach in our league. So he's been an executive out there, worked for Doc, knows the game. Steve Ballmer's a friend, years from Detroit. 47 years in the NBA. I've never seen that done by I've had players that were problem people that were, did something criminal that literally got sent. I've never seen this with a quality human all-star 2021 year vet like him to have this happen to. I think it's like Luka's thing was the most shocking trade I've ever seen. This was maybe one of the most shocking moves, kind of personnel wise, unrelated to playing that I ever saw.
Yeah, well, we don't know exactly. But I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened. Something happened, but I don't know what it was.
Because remember, everyone was shocked when Ime Udoka got fired, and then a few days later, people found out why he got fired, and then or suspended rather. So we don't know what happened, right? What we do have, though, is on our Amazon show on Friday. Was it Friday? Yeah, Friday when I was doing the Celtics-Lakers game. Chris Haynes said that, you know, Chris Paul told his teammates to change their defensive coverages without permission from Jeff Van Gundy, who is the defensive coordinator over there for that team. And, you know, Jeff spoke to Chris about this and he said, you don't have that kind of leeway over here. And then they've sent them home. As in your experience as an NBA coach and, you know, these defensive coordinators, so on and so forth, how would you have reacted to a player changing your defensive scheme?
Probably would have been better. I don't think that's why he was sent home. I think that's one story of possibly something that happened. Jeff, or if Chris had a really, and trust me, my players always taught me more than I taught them. That's my philosophy. All the players I've had, the really good players in the league, they taught me bet more things about scheme and ideas. And so if Chris had an idea of changing coverages, all he had to do was go to Jeff and say, hey, think about this. I think this could work. And he'd say, got it. Now, to change the coverages, if it was during the game, of course, that's taboo. You don't do that coming out of a timeout. Yeah, you don't do that. That's not why he got sent home, trust me. But it could have been that was one of five or eight things.
Yeah, because a lot of the reports were like Chris Paul has been talking to people the wrong way, whether it be teammates, whether it be coaches, whether it be executives. Sure. And, you know, a lot of people with the Chris Paul situation, a lot of people have said, well, that's just Chris Paul. You knew who he was before you got him. And, you know, and people who have maybe found him irritating or whatever it might be. I said, damn, do you know how irritating you have to be to get sent home? Like, and I get he's respected and he's a Hall of Famer and he's had an amazing career. But the way I think about it is this, is, you know, and with all due respect to Chris Paul, right? You are an excellent basketball mind, right? Chris Paul knows more about basketball than I will ever know, right? Sure. The thing is, the way you talk to people matters. And, you know, I've learned this in the corporate world. The way you can have great ideas and you can have great thoughts and things that work, but the way you convey those messages, I found out the hard way myself, is the way you convey those messages is very different for depending on who you speak to. And not everyone, when you speak with just pure passion, because, you know, Chris Paul has a passion to win basketball games. I have a passion to grow the sport of basketball. And sometimes when you're speaking from that place of passion, the way that it comes across can sometimes be interpreted as too much or rude or whatever it might be, right? So the way that you speak to people has to be tailored towards them, right? Now, there are different circumstances, right? Now, say I was the biggest podcaster in the world. Say I had millions and millions of followers and so on and so forth. The way that I talk might be perfectly fine because people are like, okay, well, he's giving us the results. The results are there, so on and so forth. But when you're in a place where you have to prove yourself and the results aren't there yet, you have to tailor how you speak to different people. The same with Chris Paul. He's had this way of dealing with things and dealing with people his whole career. Because everywhere he's gone in his career, he's largely won in the regular season, right? He's been on winning teams for pretty much his entire career. Sure. Now he's in a situation where he's not winning and he's not contributing to winning at all. So the way that you're speaking to people, they might not appreciate that if you're not actually helping them win in the slightest. And the thing about having an attitude is like, I don't know if this is a crazy example and a crazy comparison to make, right? But if you're dating a girl who is amazing, but she has a bad attitude, a lot of people tolerate that, right? They put up with it because the benefit you get from it outweighs the annoying attitude that you got to deal with sometimes. But then when you stop having those good times and it's just attitude on its own, you're thinking, man, why the hell am I dating this girl? She can go. But the same way Chris Paul now, he's gone back to the franchise where he was the hero. And, you know, he's gone for his retirement tour to try and get a ring. Let's not forget that as well. Is if the Clippers weren't before the season in a place to contend, I don't think he signs there, right? He's gone back there to get him a ring. And instead, he's just given attitude and not contributing to winning. And so they've looked at it like, why the hell are we dealing with this? So if your ex-girlfriend comes back to you and you're just dealing with a whole bunch of attitude and you're not getting any of the benefits that you did before, you're thinking, what the hell am I dealing with this? You got to go. And that's the way that I look at this situation.
There's a lot to unpack with your girls, I'm telling you. But I don't know if you want me to comment about my wife, but I will. But I think the thing is, he's played there. He's known there. Lawrence had him as a player there. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Frank. Chris Haynes is a brilliant, brilliant reporter and an insider expert in the league. Shams, excellent insider. Those guys are in the players' favor because they got to talk to players.
Yep.
Okay. So the story that they're getting is from Chris.
Yep.
That might be the right story, but there's always, as we know, two sides to a story. And I think it's an accumulation. Until we find out everything, I really want to be careful about the judgment there.
Yep.
They say that, you know, Ty didn't speak to him for 3 weeks. I don't know if that's true or not. I find it hard to believe
mm-hmm.
that, you know, in this league, you can not have a player and a coach speak for 3 weeks. But he also wasn't playing. And, you know, now Chris came there to play early exhibition season. The guy had 10 assists in one game and an exhibition game. That's amazing in 20 minutes. So I think, you know, his expectation level, I picked them as a playoff team and a really good playoff team. I thought they could really do some damage.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I missed on OKC repeating easily, and I missed on these guys.
John Collins trade has been.
I really thought they were going to be good, and I thought they got good veterans. Veterans didn't get hurt and stuff like that. Kawhi went out, the whole deal. I don't know what to make of it, but it was shocking. It was shocking to me. And I hate to see good people, as they say on both sides, players, coaches, administrators, having their reputations hurt. But it was damn shocking.
Yeah, I think I'm just going based off of the story that he was talking to people the wrong way. But we don't know. We might never know what really happened behind the scenes.
No, and you know, you made a great point there. I always, when I work with coaches, college and pro coaches, I always tell them players are very sensitive, and the tone of your voice in criticizing them is a whole different than a one in which I'm trying to now offer counsel and show caring about your game, as opposed to putting you down about your game. The tone and the way I talk to you is way different. So I think you're 100% right on that. Tone is important.
We have an interesting development in the NBA this week. The NBA Cup gets to its knockout stages, and we talked about it last week. We gave some predictions, but I wanted to do something fun this week.
Okay.
You know, we're brought to you by NBA 2K26. So I thought to myself, what if we took the best teams of all time, put them into NBA 2K26, and did an NBA Cup with them? Single game elimination, winner takes all. So to do that, coach, I think we have to draft who we think are 8 of the best teams of all time.
Are these games going to be played on a neutral court?
They're going to be played on a virtual court. How about that?
I like that. Okay.
So the thing is, we're going to do this draft, but the rule is only one team per franchise.
Okay.
Right? So you can't have multiple years of the same franchise, right? So
not 6 Bulls teams.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I wanted to include our friend Mr. Armstrong in this. However, with the number one pick in this draft, I'm picking the 96 Bulls. 72 wins in the regular season, went on to win a championship, defeating the Supersonics 4-2 in the finals. Obviously, it goes without saying, Michael Jordan, the best player of all time. You've got Scottie Pippen. You're coached by Phil Jackson. It's a superstar stacked team. You've got Dennis Rodman in the mix as well for all the dirty work and the defense. I'm picking them as my best team of all time in this draft, coach. Who are you taking?
Wow, that's great. I love that team. I played against the 86 Celtics. Talk about a dream team. Casey Jones, one of the most underrated coaches of all time. Great, great player with Bill Russell in college and in the Celtics. They beat Houston 4-2 in the finals. But Casey had to wheel out this team of unknowns. Larry Bird, who might really be one of the greatest of all time.
I think he's one of the most underrated of all time.
I mean, when you, the guy was at this point when Larry was playing, he's the MVP three straight years. Okay. So you have Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, who was like 21, 22 points a game. Larry was like 25. Oh, and this guy, Robert Parrish, who was just a, played about 21, 22 years, but the Chief was just as steady as a rock. And all he did is come and perform every night. Then the backcourt, Danny Ainge, who not just was a fantastic player, great role player, terrific shooter, but turned into a terrific coach and executive now, both with the Celtics and the Utah. And another guy in the backcourt with him, Dennis Johnson. Dennis mm-hmm. Johnson was DJ. the glove. I mean, Larry Bird says he's the best player he ever played with, which is incredible.
Well, but they lost one game at home the entire season.
Yeah, they're 40-1 at home. And DJ, who wasn't a great shooter, wasn't fast, wasn't a super ball handler. He won a championship with the Sonics and then came and to Boston and just was outstanding. And they had this guy by the name of Bill Walton as their sixth man.
Wow. Bill Walton's sixth man is crazy. Yeah,
and they had other guys, including our friend, future Hall of Famer, the great Rick Carlisle, was a bench guy on that team.
Yep.
And so they had a great squad. And that team, who could they not beat, right?
I hear it. Well, with my next pick, I'm picking a team who I don't think really many people ever could beat. That's the 2017 Golden State Warriors. That's adding Kevin Durant to Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. That's still with the depth of the bench, with multiple guys who are 6'7" that can all switch. So I'm picking the 2017 Golden State Warriors with my second pick.
All right, so the fourth pick, I'm going to take the 87 Lakers. The 87 Lakers were so good, they beat the 86 Celtics, who I just raved about before. Pat Riley was the coach. Pat's one of the very best coaches that Chuck Daly and I ever coached against. I love him. He was tough. This was showtime Pat Riley. When he came to the East, to the Knicks in Miami, he became the bad boys Pat Riley, you know, where they played tough physical
brawl. Grimy.
Yeah. But man, when they were in LA, baby, it was showtime with Irvin Magic Johnson as their point guard, Byron Scott, who was one of the best two guard shooters, James big game worthy as their small forward at 6'9". And then AC Green, who played like 1,000 consecutive games, he's their power forward. Mr. Reliable, dirty work guy. And then this guy by the name of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is center. With the famed Michael Cooper, his defensive player of the year coming off the bench.
Crazy.
Along with Klay Thompson's daddy, Michael Thompson.
Michael,
off the bench. So, and Kurt Rambis, you know, who's another, you know, bad boy kind of guy. So they had a good, an unbelievable squad. They beat, you know, the Celtics 4-2 in the finals. So it was just, that was a great team.
That was a great team. Another great team, you know, won multiple championships. It was tough picking which year of this team I wanted because I was thinking about the 1999 San Antonio Spurs with David Robinson and Tim Duncan or the 2003, 2005, 2007. But I landed on the 2014 San Antonio Spurs with a young Kawhi Leonard, who was an absolute monster on defense those years, where you still had an aging Tim Duncan, but was still very, very productive. Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. And then a cast of role players, the Patty Mills of the world, the Thiago Splitters of the world, the Boris Diaws of the world, and they just played this brand of basketball that was a joy to watch. If you've never watched them and you're a newer NBA fan, type in 2014 Spurs, the beautiful game, into YouTube, because they made the extra pass every single time. It was just it was poetry in motion.
They had the great coach, Greg Popovich.
Of course.
You know, just a legendary coach. And Pop was also a great executive, great leader, obviously, with the Olympic team too. That was a classic team. That organization is historic.
Next pick, Coach. Who have you got with the sixth pick in this all-time draft?
I have two. My championship trophies up here, two world championships back-to-back. I got a ring here to size. I got to bring this ring, Mo.
Let's see. Coach is flashing silverware today.
Look at that ring, huh?
Lift it up higher. Lift it up higher.
I have to tell you, Mo, the thing about the 89 Pistons, coached by Chuck Daly, that was so amazing. This was the bad boys. This is when physical ball, we were not as talented as the Lakers and the Celtics and those guys. So what we did is we played a brand of basketball that now coming back in style where you had to earn a basket. You had to earn a layup. You guarded every time down the court. You rebounded. You played hard. You took good shots. I think we only took or made 273s for the whole year. That's a week's worth with some teams in the league now. But we were 63-19 regular season. I joined the team in the first week of January to coach. And we missed Mr. Dumars. Joe Dumars broke his hand the first game. Was out 3 weeks. And when Joe came, we lost, I think, two of our next three games. And next thing you know, we were 58-10 the rest of the year. It was insane. 15-2 in the playoffs. Michael was the only person to beat us. They were up 2-1. We put in the Jordan rules. The rest is history. We swept the Lakers with Pat Riley 4-0 in the finals. Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Mark Aguirre, Rick Mahorn, the real bad boy, Bill Laimbeer. But listen to the guys on the bench. Microwave Vinnie Johnson, the great Dennis Rodman, the John Sally Shoplocker, and James Edwards, the scoring backup center. 9 terrific players. Mm. That's a dream team right there.
I do hear that. I do hear that. And, you know, we're talking about all these. First of all, that run to the finals to winning the championship is insane, by the way.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the toughest runs we've seen. But we're talking about all these all-time great teams, and we can't lose sight of the fact that we might be witnessing an all-time great team in front of our eyes right now. The OKC Thunder are currently 22-1. They're on pace to win over 70 games this season. So I'm going to throw them in the mix. Not saying that they're as good as all these other teams, but given their record so far and they're the reigning champs, I think it's only right to show them some love with my final pick. I'm going to throw in this year's OKC and see how they stack up against the best teams of all time.
As we say in Latin, Mo, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. Please forgive me for my idiocracy early in the season with our play world championship picks.
Oh, you got to forget. You got to go on to the next play, coach.
No, I couldn't agree more. Mark Daigneault and these guys are just incredible. They show up every night. That's what I love about them. And no matter who's on the roster playing that night, they play. They play. That's what I love about them. So anyway, we go to the
final pick, coach.
Final pick. I got to put my man LeBron in there because he's been so great for the league and the great D Wade. But Eric Spoelstra, the United States men's national team coach for the 28 Olympics here in Los Angeles, was the coach of the team that beat the Spurs 4-3 in an incredible final. They were 66-16 that year, back-to-back champs. They won 27 regular season games that year. Pretty incredible streak. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. You know, I just really, really loved their team. Mario Chalmers, you know, just a kind of a role-playing point guard. And a guy by name of Udonis Haslem, who only played 20-plus years in this league, was their starting center. But they came off the bench, though, with some guys, namely Ray Allen, who made one of the most famous shots in the NBA, the three-pointer at the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
They had some really great role players, the great Shane Battier, Mike Miller, Birdman, Chris Anderson. Really a hell of a squad put together by the great Pat Riley.
I'm going to put all of these into NBA 2K, and we're going to simulate them right now, right here, right now. But before we get to that, right, you know, this season, the Thunder are 22-1, on pace to win 70-plus games. They're the reigning champs. We've seen teams win a lot in regular season. The Golden State Warriors in 2016 won 73 games, but couldn't get it done in the NBA Finals. Who is the greatest team of all time? Because for me, I've got the 96 Bulls, you know, 72 wins and a ring. Who do you have as the greatest team of all time?
Oh, I'm biased. No, I picked the 89 Pistons, my team, but if you told me that Celtic team, I wouldn't be upset.
The 86 Celtics?
I would not be upset because on paper, by position, outstanding.
I've put these all into NBA 2K. We've got a tournament format. We've got the number one seed, 96 Bulls, facing off the last pick that you just made, the 2013 Miami Heat. And the Bulls have won this matchup, 112 yep. to 108. Scottie Pippen with 34, 15, and 2. Michael Jordan only had 21 points. But the Miami Heat went cold from downtown. You mentioned Ray Allen. They had Shane Battier, Mike Miller, but they were combined 5 of 21 as a team from behind the arc, losing this one to the Chicago Bulls. How about that Bulls defense?
That's who I picked in that game.
Yep. Yep. Well, how about the 87 Lakers versus the 2014 Spurs? Who are you picking for that one?
Lakers, Spurs. My fault. I had the Lakers.
You got the Lakers, right? The Lakers win 119 to 89. Yep. Magic Johnson puts up 26 points, 19 assists to go along with 17 and 10 from Kareem and 23 points from James Worthy. Tim Duncan put up 24 points, 12 rebounds and 4 blocks. But the Spurs, much like the Miami Heat, right, is fascinating. They went 5 of 22 from behind the arc. So far in both games that we've simulated, the teams that shoot more threes because they're modern teams have just shot them and gone cold and lost the matchup. So let's see what happens when the number 3 seed 2017 Warriors face off against your 89 Pistons. Who have you got winning that? Because if there's a team who won't go cold from three, surely it's these Warriors.
No, it's definitely the 89 Pistons, because first of all, we would have Draymond out of the game in the first quarter with 2 technical fouls. Okay. and then Isaiah and Dumars would just totally lock up Steph, you know, and Rodman would just put the clamps on Durant. So it's the Pistons.
The clamps were applied to Kevin Durant. However, it didn't stop Klay Thompson from scoring 42 and Steph Curry from scoring 41 as the Warriors won 134 to 94. And unlike the first few games, the Warriors were 14 of 33 from behind the arc. The Pistons were just 2 of 6 from 3. Pounding that ball on the inside just didn't work out, because I guess they missed out the factor of getting Draymond tossed from the game with those technical fouls.
Totally bogus bullshit game. Can you imagine the Bad Boys losing by 40 points? Can you imagine that?
No,
First of all, we would have beat up half of their team right on the spot. We had ejections. There should be 6 ejections listed there, including the head coach.
It is worth noting that these games are simulated under today's rules, which maybe takes away the psychological factor. But it's interesting nonetheless, though, because that Warriors team just had so much firepower. Dumas had 19. Isaiah only had 8 and 10. Because that Warriors team did have some good defenders. But the final game of the first round, you're getting outraged. I'm going to move on. I know you're getting mad right now.
You better before I throw this game away. All right, go ahead.
86 Celtics versus the current day OKC Thunder.
86 Celtics.
You would think that. However, the Thunder scored 16 threes compared to just 5 from the Celtics as they win 130 to 100. Shea with 27 points, 7 assists, 3 steals. J-Dub with 24, Lou Dort with 23, Chet with 21, AJ Mitchell with 18. These guys were just letting it fly from behind the arc. Larry Bird did have 26, 8, and 6, and Mikal had 19 and 14. But it's the Thunder who advance. So we get to the second round now, where you have the 96 Bulls and the 87 Lakers. Who wins in that matchup, Coach?
God knows after this. It should be the 96.
They did indeed, 98 to 80. Scottie Pippen with 31, 10, and 6 with 4 blocks to go along with it. Another underwhelming game from Michael Jordan, who is rated 99 overall in this game. But it was the 16 turnovers for the Lakers that killed him. That full court pressure defense from Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman maybe kicking in right there. So the Bulls move on to the finals, where they will face either the 2017 Warriors or the 2026 OKC Thunder. Who wins that matchup?
I would say the Warriors.
And you'd be absolutely right. They won a close one, 134 to 130. Steph Curry with 43 points, KD with 32, 7 and 6, and Klay with 29. The Thunder, after their hot shooting to eliminate the 86 Celtics, went 5 of 16 from behind the arc in this one as the Warriors move on to the finals. So the Chicago Bulls of 1996 versus the Golden State Warriors of 2017. Who wins that matchup, Coach?
It should be the Bulls, but the way this game's going.
You scared of that 3-point line, huh?
Oh, boy. Go ahead.
Well, it's still simulated right now, so it must be a good one. Maybe it's gone to overtime. It's still running right now. It's still running. So, tell me why you made your pick the way that you have.
Well, no, because I make these picks for many of the cases because I coached against these guys, so I know the teams, I know the coaches, and I know the individuals. The only teams that I have not coached against are the 13. Heat and the Spurs, and also of course the OKC. But I know all the people involved, so that's what I get. I love NBA 2K26. I love it, but that ain't the real deal because of the way you got
it. We're simulating it according to today's rules. That's the difference. But we have the result here of the all-time NBA Cup coach. Are you ready? Michael Jordan went off for 52 points. Tony Kukoc gave the Bulls 26 and 10.
Tony.
Scottie Pippen with 22, 9 and 11, one rebound away from a triple-double. But he didn't need that extra rebound because the Bulls won 119 to 95. They were too much for the Golden State Warriors. They did it on the glass. They out-rebounded them 60 to 37. Luke Longley gave them 9 rebounds. Dennis Rodman gave them 8 rebounds. Man, they were absolutely cleaning up the glass for the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson got off 27. Steph Curry and KD had 20 apiece. KD, 1 of 6 from behind the arc. Steph Curry, 2 of 8 from behind the arc. So in the conclusion of all of this, the three-point shot had such a big factor in every single one of these games. And it just goes to show, if that three-point shot's falling, you win the games. If it's not, you don't. But if you get it done on the glass like the Bulls did here in the final, we're crowning the Chicago Bulls of 1996, the all-time NBA Cup champions, according to NBA 2K26.
I can live with that. I can live with that. Because, you know, you had the greatest player of all time and really one of the 10 best players in Scottie Pippen of all time. One of the 5 best European players of all time in Tony Kukoc. It was an amazing team with brilliant coaching. And the Warriors, likewise. Fun team to watch. I wish KD had stayed together because that team would.
Oh wow, yeah,
yeah. And I don't mean this. I love KD and I love what a pro he is. How well he keeps playing wherever he goes. But this is a move like KD wanted to move, and just because you move doesn't mean it's going to be better. That's really
absolutely.
With Giannis,
KD's perspective. That time with the Warriors, he kind of felt like a bit of an outsider. Because I remember that clip where Draymond Green was telling him, "We don't need you to win. You can leave. We don't need you over here." And you know, when you've got the leader of your team saying that to you.
But he begged him to come there.
Yeah.
Draymond.
Yeah.
He begged him to come. And they did need him to win. That's why he was the MVP in both of the finals.
Yeah, but when Draymond's talking crazy, saying, "Go on and leave, we don't need you," you say, "All right, bet."
No, that is crazy. That's Draymond. That's why he would have been out in the first quarter when we played. Okay. But you know, the thing is that the grass isn't greener everywhere. But I just think sometimes what is happiness, and the happiness is winning in my business, and also when you get to perform your best.
Yeah.
The
difference in comparison is that Warriors team with KD before he left was set up to continue winning. This Bucks team, they have no moves available to them that I can see them building a good roster around Giannis.
No.
It all went wrong, as we said earlier, with the Jrue Holiday trade. That was just not the right move.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, the injuries happened and stuff like that, but they give up the identity of their team. Trading Chris Middleton for Kyle Kuzma was an absolute horror show because Kyle Kuzma has been horrible for the Bucks. I'm really impressed with Brian Rollins and his development, but that's not enough for a team that wants to contend.
We have a saying that you've heard me use many times, is that every decision one person makes in life, basketball, business, anything, it's 50-50 whether it's going to work. Every one of those executives and players made decisions on their future and careers and their teams based on what they thought was right, but only half of the time. On all the decisions that one makes in life, you've made hundreds and hundreds of decisions. I've made thousands of decisions. The best I can do.
Yep.
We all think we're operating on 95.5.
There is one decision that is 100% guaranteed. And that is the decision to subscribe to the Hoop Genius podcast, because we guarantee you the best basketball show on a weekly basis, not just once, but twice a week. You know, look at what we're doing. Every week we're bringing you the biggest stories from the NBA, and then every week we're bringing you the best guests from around the NBA. How about Penny Hardaway on the show? That was surreal for me, Coach. Maybe. I really appreciate you hooking that one up. Well, that was surreal.
Mo, you are, I give you your flowers. You're 100% great decision on that. This show, subscribe, and you'll love it.
I appreciate it. You know, I do a bit of mentoring, you know, for young people who want to get started in the sports media space. And, you know, one of them asked me this week, they were like, oh, so how do you build your relationship with the NBA to the point where they give you all of these guests? I said, excuse me? I said, no one be giving us guests. I got coached with his Rolodex out going through the contacts. I've been trying to make plays, trying to get people on the show. We've not got the NBA giving us guests. This is all independent self-work. You know, this is an independent show. We don't bring you no gambling sponsors. We don't bring you nothing that's bad for you. We just bring you basketball talk brought to you by NBA 2K26, which I play ridiculous amounts of hours on. I don't know if the people are aware that all I do in life is watch the NBA, talk about the NBA, analyze the NBA, and then when I have free time, I play NBA 2K26. Right now, I'm just looking at it now. I'm up to 423 hours of NBA 2K26, which only came out a couple months ago.
That's awesome.
So if you're listening to this and you're wondering why I haven't texted you back, it's because I'm probably on NBA 2K26, not answering my phone.
And you're right, Mo. The guests we have are from hours and hours and years of relationships that you and I have formed with people. Okay, and that's why the people that we ask to come on love the game as much as we do. And they want to share it with our listeners. And we have great listeners worldwide. And that throws the hell out of
us. Absolutely, we do this all for the people. That's why it means so much that you guys subscribe and share and all those good things. If you want to leave a 5 stars on Spotify or leave a little review on Apple Podcasts, it really does help the show rank up in the charts and that sort of thing. And we'll be back on Thursday with another very special guest. Are we going to give them a clue this week, Coach?
I love people that can talk the game, but they can coach the game.
And you can take that for Dea. How about that? We'll see you in the next one. Make sure you don't miss another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. Subscribe, set your notifications up, and until next time, get buckets.